if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn them over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I am very nervous up here today because they have moved the steps. And the steps are off about, oh, probably about 2 to 2.5, 3 foot. And I'm so afraid that without thinking, I'm going to turn and try to exit when I leave here after preaching, because I'll be winded and not quite in my right mind. And I will fall off of this stage. So if it happens, please don't laugh so hard, okay, that you can't see to leave yourself when it's time to go. So I am really worried. I almost did it the first time. I'm trying to be very mindful of that. So we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. And this is the fourth part of a five-part sermon series entitled All Things Giving Thanks. And it's appropriate because Thanksgiving is Thursday. I don't know about you, but I love Thanksgiving. I love to get together with my family, and I like to eat, and I like to have cherry pie. I like to have pumpkin pie. I like to have just about any kind of pie. Pies pretty much are my forte, but I am looking forward to that. And maybe you're going to get together with, some family and some relatives and some friends and maybe some neighbors, whatever it is that you do. But, you know, we come together to give thanks. That's the purpose of this. And let's just get right into the Word of God this morning. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So Paul is preparing the reader here to understand that he is about to tell us how to be wise, okay? So we have to have this understanding. And also that how we can make the most of every opportunity. So he's preparing us, and we read verse 17, and it begins. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Paul writes, don't be foolish. Well, that's probably a pretty good way to start. Don't be foolish. And that leads me to my first point this morning, and that's this. Wisdom is a precious commodity. Wisdom is a precious commodity for any person. When my oldest son was going to Evangel University, the college down in Springfield, Missouri, it's a Christian college, and he met a friend, and his friend's name was Rodney, and he called his mother and I and said, would it be okay for me to bring this young man home? His mother passed away very recently. He doesn't know his father hardly at all. And his two brothers, one's in the military, one's on the East Coast, and he's going to be staying here at the college over the holidays. And would it be okay if I brought him home for the holidays? And when Christmas comes, you can split what money you usually set apart for me. You can split it, give him something, give me something, and I'll be happy with that. And of course, we said, sure, bring him home. And that was in 2006, and for all these years, Rodney has been a part of our family. And the reason I tell you this story is because Aaron, when he was coming home, usually he always drove home by himself, you know, when you get with somebody you really like, it's very easy to lose time and lose where you're at on the road. And they were talking and having such a good time sharing with each other that when they got to the 2481 junction, they continued north. And they got about 15 miles north, and he realized he was not going to Glasgow anymore. And he suddenly realized that he needed to turn around. And so that's exactly what he did, is he turned around and headed back home. And that is what this is really about. Life is kind of like that. It's full of choices. And wisdom prevents a person from getting down too far on the wrong road. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom helps us not get that far down the wrong road so we can understand that we've gone the wrong way. And understanding is realize we've gone the wrong way and turning around and coming back. So without wisdom and without understanding, there's no coming back from the wrong choices we make. And James the half-brother, and that leads me to the second point, and that's this. Wisdom comes from God alone. Wisdom comes from God alone. James the half-brother of Jesus, the pastor at the church at Jerusalem, writes this in James chapter 1, 5, and it's a verse most of us know. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So James puts it very, very simple. He says, you lack wisdom? Ask God. It's that simple. Just that simple. Because wisdom comes from God alone. And we see this carried along in the Old Testament. Job chapter 28 verse 12 says this, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. Wow. That means the wisdom that God is talking about, the wisdom that the Bible is telling us about, is not found in the land of the living. That's amazing. And I know a lot of scholars and academics who probably wouldn't like that too well, and probably why they discount the Word of God is because of that very thing. In fact, if you read the entire chapter, it concludes with these words. And he said to the man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and turn away from evil is understanding. So wisdom helps us know the path that we're on, if it's right or wrong. And understanding is the ability to say, I'm on the wrong path. I need to go back to the right path. You can have an education, my friends. You can have degrees all over the place. But you know what? All that makes you is educated. Doesn't necessarily mean you got wisdom. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've got your act together. I mean, if you can still lack wisdom. You can think that you got wisdom, but it's not a God's wisdom. It's man-made wisdom. So Paul writes, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the will of God. This is absolutely the most, I think, in my estimation, one of the most overlooked and most overthought and most mysterious part of our walk as Christ followers. What is God's will for me? What is God's will for you? You need to know what that is. What is God's will for me? Because we live in evil times, and because we live in evil times, it's absolutely important for the followers of Christ to be sensitive to God's leading and His desire for our life. What is God's will for your life? What is it? Now listen to this. I think this is very smart. It's the pathway that God will lay out for you. Personal pathway God has laid out for you. You aren't following the will of God for somebody else. You're following God's will for you. Personally, God knows you intimately, and He has a personal will for you. You may be called to be a farmer, and I have no doubt that Brad is called to be a farmer. When he talks about harvest, his eyes light up. He gets all giddy like a schoolgirl. I mean, well, he's not that bad, but he gets really pumped up. I mean, he just loves harvest. Well, of course, I would too if it was payday. When I understood it's payday, then I'm like, oh, okay, I get it, you know. It's like that commercial where those people are like, payday, you know, every morning they wake up, it's payday. Okay. Anyway, I watch too much TV probably. But look at this. This is, to me, is very important. The pathway that God has laid out for you is what God wants you to do. And to be able to know what that pathway is very important. Knowing, and listen to this, knowing and doing the will of God is the most rewarding thing any person who is a Christ follower can do. When you are in the will of God, you are doing what God put you on this earth to do. And that is when you see God move the most in your life. That's when you understand that God is with you. I mean, we need to have wisdom, and we need to have understanding. The wisdom tells us if we're on the right path, and understanding tells us, oh, we're on the wrong path, and to make the correction and get back on the right path. That's what is so cool about all of this. So those who walk in wisdom, they make good use of their opportunities. They understand what the will of God is for their life. And the next verse is verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now this has a lot less to do with being drunk, okay, drinking. This has a lot less to do with that and a lot more to do with what influences you. What influences you? The question that is posed by verse 18 is, what or who are you influenced by? What or who are you influenced by? Are you going to be influenced by this world? Because that's what is represented by the wine and being drunk. Are you going to be influenced by the Holy Spirit of God? That is the idea here. And if you're under the influence of God's Spirit, then verse 19 applies to you. It says this, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. A church that is filled with God's Spirit and is a church that is full of joy. Why? Because God saved me. He has redeemed me. He has made me whole. He has forgiven every sin that I have ever made and ever will make. And He has written my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, if you don't have any reason to be thankful this Thanksgiving, that is enough right there to fill the cup. But there is so much more. So much more to be thankful for. A singing church is a joyous one because here's the deal. It all comes from here. Now, I have been in ministry for a long time, and I know this. Some people just don't like singing. They don't have a great voice. They don't see what the big hoodoo is, you know. But it's amazing to me because I have lived a life that has been in the church and outside the church. And it always cracks me up because I could go over to England and the person that hates to sing in church has a couple pints and suddenly they like to sing. I'm just making a point here that who are you being influenced by? If you're not willing to sing for God, but you're willing to sing under the influence, then what? So here's the deal. We need to be honest with God and we can't hide from Him, so it's just better to be honest with Him. And that leads me to an amazing verse. Amazing verse. I love verse 20 here. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say only good things. It says all things. All things. Give thanks in all things. You're probably asking, well, how in the world can you do that? That's the problem. It's not found in the world. You can't give thanks in all things from this world's perspective. How do you give thanks in all things? There's a preacher that I study preachers. I love preachers. I mean, the great thing about being in the master's program right now is there are pastors that preachers that are in my class of about 40 men and women, and some of them are fantastic preachers. And when I get around them, I start hearing some of the things and that they're doing in their churches. I get all excited. I get all pumped up, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is great. And I love listening to good preaching. I just do. I study it. And there's a guy named, one of the guys that I love following is George Woods. I love George Woods. And you should thank George Woods. Because as a non-evangelical free pastor, I would not have came here if it hadn't been for something that George Wood sent out in a mailer. He said, if you find yourself, this is at the very end of the letter, he said, if you find yourself in an unintended place among unintended people, then know this, that's God's will for your life. And I was just starting to fill in here and I was thinking, well, I wonder how long this is going to go before I have to leave. And my friends, I've been here almost 5 years now because of George Woods. So you should thank me for, you know, reading. You don't know who George Woods is, but you need to say, thank the Lord. Or else you could say, curse that guy. however you view me being here. I don't want to be so cocky to think that it's all positive. But I will say this. I think it's important also that you know another guy that I love, and his name is Charles Crabtree. I actually had him over at my church at Beloit, and Charles Crabtree is known for taking huge truths of the Bible and crushing them down in points that are so simplistic, and you're just like, oh, that's so good. I can't do that. You know, I have to have this big, you know. One of the things that I'm finding out in my thesis is that my advisor's like, you're putting these sentences so long. You don't need to say all those words. But I'm like, this is a word count, right? So you're like throwing, you remember writing papers and you had the word count? You had to write a paper of 300 words or 500 words and you'd add extra words? I'm just padding. That's all I'm doing. And now I'm having to take it all out. So got me through all of this, but now in my thesis I can't do it. So, but I will say this, he is so well known for this that what I'm going to do today, because I think this is so appropriate for knowing God's will and being thankful in all things, that I'm going to use these 3 points that he used in a totally different sermon, but it's so applicable. And they're so simple. So here's the first one. How can we give thanks in all things? Here's the first point from Charles Crabtree. He says this, do not put a period where God puts a comma. Do not put a period where God puts a comma. I want you to think about that. We have a tendency as humans, when painful things happen in our life, when situations are dire, when things are bad, we have the propensity to say, this is permanent. We have the propensity to say, that's it. This is the way it's going to be all my life. Or, this is the way it's always been in my life. I've always had pain. I've always had this almost cloud that covers me and it rains on me everywhere I go. And that's the idea here. That we tend to put a period where God puts a comma. Maybe the job interview didn't go so well. Maybe you've, you know, applied 3 times and it's another no. It doesn't mean it will always be a no, but we tend to see it that way. Maybe you didn't get the promotion you were hoping for and you're passed over, but that doesn't mean that it'll always be that way. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned. And yet God raised him to be second in charge of all of Egypt. We can never take those things that we see in our life as God's putting a period there, especially when God's just put a comma there. In light of eternity, listen to me carefully, in light of eternity, most situations are not permanent. The pain that you have in this life one day will give way to eternal life and the promise of God. Jody's sister, Kathy, and my brother-in-law, Jeff, we've had him here. He sang and they were here. She married, they have one daughter, and her name's Krista, and Krista married a young man who is a Mennonite, and he has a fear of God, I believe, and I think he loves the Lord, but he's a different kind of guy. I mean, just as all young men are. And I'll never forget, he was in the National Guard. He got deployed, went to Iraq, and he was in a truck over in Iraq, and they drove over an IED, and the IED exploded, and it killed the guy next to him and grievously injured the guy next to him on the other side, and he was grievously injured as well. And he was in a hospital for a very long time as he was being fixed up and taken care of. And he lost the lower part of his leg. Now Pete, that's his name. Pete, when he got back, he was all healed on the outside. He was still very injured on the inside. Like so many of our soldiers that come back home, they might not show signs. They may have some wounds that you can see, but they're healed up, but on the inside, there's still wounds there. Given the right situation, it shows. And in Pete's life, I mean, that's kind of how he was. I mean, and you know, over these years, we meet at Pete and Krista's house. That's where we go. It's halfway for Jeff and Kathy. It's halfway for us. And we go down there. All our kids get together. And, you know, when Isaac was really small, he used to say, I can't wait to go see my family. He didn't know how to say cousins and stuff like that. He just said, I want to see my family. And I mean, they get together and it's just like they never lost touch with each other. You know how that is. I mean, you got family. And every year I see Pete just getting a little bit better, a little bit better, and a little bit better. But you know what? He still walks on a prosthesis because he needs it to walk. But you know, one day, according to the promise of God, he'll be made completely whole. And he won't need that anymore. My friends, God has the ability to do that. And I think that's very important for us to realize that where God puts a comma, we should never put a period. The second point is this: do not put a period where God puts a comma. I already said that, didn't I? Don't ever place a comma where God puts a period. There you go. I almost messed up there, Phyllis. Am I on track still? Okay, good. Get the thumbs up. All right. God has answered your prayer, maybe, or God has answered and given you an answer in something, but you don't like the answer that he's given, and so you go out of your way to find a way to get your way. You go out of your way to find a way to get your way. God said no, maybe. And he put a period at the end, and you're like, I don't like that. So instead of going up to the door that's closed, you go to the window. Now, can I just confess something? This is me. I am a big guy who likes to get his way, okay? I try to find a way to get my way, and that's the way I am. Earlier, I said, that old Willy Wonka song, I want it now. I don't care how. I want it now. That's me. That's how I know that. I am a person who, when the door gets shut, I want to go through the window. But I have learned something. That never works well. It never works well. How many of you do that? Have done that in your life? I mean, we do, don't we? I mean, it didn't work out well. God said no, but I'm going to go through anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to put a comma where God put the period. And I'm telling you, it never works out well. Never. In Western Kansas, we have these things called barriers. They look like a railroad crossing bar that comes down. You go out to Colby, you'll see them. They come down, literally. They don't completely close the road off so the DOT trucks can go through. But it says, you're the exit. But you know what? You can go past that barrier. And that barrier is not there to keep you from your freedom. It's not meant to hinder your freedom. It's a warning not to go past this point because there's danger and there could be hazard and there could be a loss of life if you're not careful. And so many times when God puts a period and we want to put a comma, that's what God's done. He's put a period there to warn us not to get past this point. If you go past those barriers, you're going to risk being injured or even lose your life. Let's be clear, if God put a period on something and you want to go around it, that's not completely obedience. I have seen men and women. In law enforcement, it is a terrible thing, but it happens. There is so much infidelity in law enforcement. I mean, there is so much infidelity in law enforcement. And it's just sad. It breaks my heart. And I have seen my friends who were young men like I was when we entered the academy, and they have a beautiful wife, they have beautiful children, and I have seen them think somehow the grass is greener on the other side, and they do the worst thing possible. And you know what they find out? They should have never crossed that barrier. God had a period, but they crossed and made it a comma, and they did the worst thing that is possible. There's always a penalty there. There's always a problem when you do this. Sinful activity always has a big period on it. In the story of Israel going to the promised land, there were spies that were sent out into the land, the promised land. And all the spies got back, they all agreed on this, that the land was good. It was full of everything that God promised. It was all there. And then all of them said, but you know what? There are fortified cities there, except for two of them. all of them said the same thing. There's fortified cities and the Anakites, these giant people are there and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And they gave a bad report and all the people began to mourn and cry. But Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, no, 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 the Lord's given us this place. We can take it. God has already put fear in their hearts. I mean, they are completely full of faith and they believe God. And God was so angered at what happened that he said this to Moses in Numbers 14, verse 23. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Joshua and Caleb were not in that number. So what do these people do when Moses told them that they could not go into the promised land? They took the period away that God said no, and they put a comma there. So when Moses tells them what God said, we see this in verse 40. Early the next morning, they went up toward the hill country. We have sinned, they said. We will go up to the place the Lord promised. But Moses said, why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies. And they wouldn't listen to God and they wouldn't listen to Moses and they went up and they were defeated and many of them were needlessly killed and they died. You might ask, Pastor, how do you give thanks though in that kind of a situation? I mean, how do you give thanks in that kind of a situation? Well, remember this. Wisdom tells us we're not on the right path. Understanding is the ability to be humble enough to recognize we're not on the right path and to come back to the right path. That's what's important here. And this is Charles Crabtree's last point. Where God puts a period, he always begins a new paragraph. Where God puts a period, he always begins a new paragraph. Friends, God is so gracious that even when we make the mistake and go down the wrong path and we turn around and we come back, God is so gracious that if we will come back to him, that new paragraph. Here's how you can give thanks. God can take your poor choices and make them into new opportunities for his grace to work in your life. He can do that. He's big enough. That is the good news of the gospel. Anyone can find forgiveness by God's grace. Anyone can have a new paragraph in their life by just being humble before him. God's character is restorative in nature. We might have to live in some of the painful consequences that we have made. But you know what? God's love is so great and his grace is so wonderful that he can give us a new joy and appreciation to replace the pain with. So by understanding God's will for our lives, understanding all of that, this Thanksgiving, let us remember to give thanks in all things in the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, for some of you, this pain that we've been talking about and mentioning is so fresh and so dominant in your life. Give thanks is going to be a very tough thing to do. But I'm telling you that if you're willing to do this, willing to give God a sacrifice of praise, even in the midst of your pain and your sorrow and your loss, whatever it is, God will be pleased. And you'll find yourself right in the middle of God's will. Remember Paul? Remember what happened when they were in the jail cell? And Barnabas said, hey Paul, let's begin to sing. And they began to sing. They sang songs and hymns to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He caused the jail cell to open up. Friends, it's just that simple. And stay in the pain that you find yourself in, or you can sing God Even though you don't feel like it, even though it doesn't make any sense, but remember, wisdom is not from this world. It is from above. Understanding brings you right back to where God is. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for the kindness that you show us each and every day. Lord, I thank you for the goodness that you display always.